Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Come on, give it up for Jesus this weekend. Come on, Faith Church, all campuses, you can do better than that. Wasn't it great today? Wow. How many of y'all are impressed with our team? And to think of this, that it's live at every campus, the live performers and all the Grinches and just everything. I think it's the greatest church in the whole wide world. How about you? Come on, give it up one more time for all the people that served in it. Come on now. Every campus, they worked all week. They danced all week. The sound guys, everybody. Look at your neighbor and say, I can tell you worked hard on this. I can just tell. Today, I want to talk about a little bit the grudge that stole Christmas, the grudge that sold Christmas. And so, you know, I went ahead and Googled it and I put it in there. And a grudge, it said, a persistent feeling of ill will or resentment resulting from a past insult or injury. How many of y'all have ever been hurt by people? Raise your hand if you've been hurt by people. How many of you have ever been hurt multiple times by people? How many have you been hurt multiple times by the people sitting next to you right now? You're not getting anything for Christmas for them, for sure. But here's the bigger question. Have you ever hurt somebody? Yeah. Hurt people hurt people. You know, that's this Christmas season is all about us. I mean, if you're not careful, it's supposed to be a time of illumination, of joy. Everything's supposed to be lit, not you. But it's joy to the world. It's Jesus is the reason for the season. But if you're not careful, you can have a little bit of resentment that gets in your heart that really just rubs you the wrong way, and it causes you to hold a grudge. It's like holding, anybody ever grab something hot? You're like, whoa, got to get rid of that. Maybe a barbecue briquette or a piece of wood or something on fire. You're like, I got to let that go. You got to let it go because if you don't, it'll hold you back, and the grudge will steal the joy of Christmas. Now, here's the deal at every campus. I don't know how many Christmases you've got left, but how many you've had enough of them to know you don't have as many now as you used to once have. You start doing that little thing where you're doing, you know, oh my gosh, I remember when my dad was 54. I remember when. And sometimes we allow the enemy or the inner me to cause us harm, so we're holding a grudge. Life's just too short, and it's too precious, and people are too precious for you to say, I'm going to waste and throw away this Christmas based on this grudge. Sometimes when people hurt you, when they hurt you, you kind of hear it over and over in your head. And I'm the type of guy that when you hurt me and I hear you hurt me, you do me wrong, then sometimes I don't always think of it as quick as I need to, and then I mutter over it, and then I go, man, I wish I would have thought of that. Anybody ever thought of stuff? You're like, next time I see them, I'm going to tell them that right there is what I'm going to tell them. In fact, I'm going to text them right now and tell them what I think. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Some of us have given so many pieces away, we only got one piece left, so we got to be careful because the grudge will steal Christmas. You got to let it go. I was thinking just today about a neighbor that I had. I lived out way out in the country, and we bought this property, and it was a neat little piece of property. And then the neighbors, they got kind of scared because we bought a few pieces of property. It was before I was a pastor. And a couple of the neighbors came against us because they didn't like our fence that we put in. Our fence was offensive. It doesn't get any better than this. Come on, somebody help me. Hey, actually, my friend told me it's not your fence they don't like, it's their fence they don't like, and they're jealous of your fence. You know, sometimes jealousy will do that. And they were always causing problems with us, and they had road association meetings about us, and it was just terrible. And I wasn't a pastor, so I was just a civilian, so I could say what I wanted to say, the way I wanted to say it. I wasn't on TV. I could have been on Cops, maybe, but that, you know, it's a different show. And I remember this one guy in the neighborhood association, he said, you know, it's all about the volume and velocity of the water. And because you put these fences in, now we can't. And it really didn't affect anything. And one day, they came and they tore part of my fence down on my property.
man, they put a big dump truck and they were going to put a road through my property because they felt that they had easement in that area.
And have you ever just lost your mind? Raise your hand if you just lost your mind. And I want to try that again at every campus. Come on, Florida. Anybody ever just lost it? Have you ever been so mad that you started stuttering? Anybody ever? How many ever been so mad that you didn't stutter at all? You're like, I didn't stutter. You heard what I said. And man, I remember I told that guy off at the Two of the Road Association, and I scared the truck driver so bad, he backed that truck down, and I and he left. Now, so I don't go too long on the story. Now, we sell that property, what I was so into. I thought we were going to live there forever. We got this property, bought that property. All the kids were going to live next to us. We just thought that would be heaven. Now that the kids are older, we know that would have been hell. But now they're we sell the property. And it's no longer important to me. I want to mark that moment and say that a lot of the things that you're upset about today, it really won't matter 5 years from now. But it's a big deal today. There's a lot of people in jail today based on a grudge, on a moment, on rage, on anger, because they didn't control it. And so I sold the property. And one day, Florida, in this very church, right here, you know, our city was going and we built that one and built the other churches. And then one day this one's going. And all of a sudden, the neighbor that gave me the biggest problems come walking down the aisle. I thought, oh my gosh, that's the guy that I almost shot. He goes, Pastor David, I'm your neighbor. I'm your old neighbor. And I'm like, I remember. And he said, man, we flipped on the television one day and I've been an alcoholic and I had all these problems. And then all of a sudden you started speaking to us and it changed our life. And we gave our life to Jesus and we came to church. And I'm like, I'm glad I didn't shoot that guy. I am so glad I let him live. True story. See, a lot of times we overreact because of a grudge. And it's like, you're sitting on my last nerve. And then we got this grudge. And then we become this Grinch of a person. We turn green. And we're aggravated all because we didn't let it go. We didn't drop. A lot of times grudges will hold you back. Let's go here to Mark. For the sake of time only, Mark 11, Florida. Look at this. If you're new here, if you're wondering, I'm talking, we have three churches in Florida. They're good ones too, by the way. You should say amen to that because they're actually your church family and they all have homes there and you could get in a group and you could stay with them January through. Okay, let's go. Verse 25, it says this, verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. I love this part. Let it drop. Leave it and let it go. Let it drop, leave it and let it go. Shout it with me, church. What's it say? Leave it. Let it drop, leave it, let it go. Let it drop, leave it, let it go. So in other words, when they're running through your fence or they're saying that stuff about you, you just got to tell yourself, let it drop, leave it, let it go. Let it drop, leave it, let it go. I'm getting you ready for Christmas. When your family comes over and they go, let's talk about vaccinations. Let's talk politics. You go, leave it, let it drop, let it go. Leave it, let it drop, let it go. And everybody's entitled to their opinion. I just heard the guy say, well, I don't want to hear it. Yeah. A lot of the things that we allow the enemy to flare us up on really just makes us mad. I think sometimes the best thing we can do is to ask God to forgive us, and then we have to forgive ourselves. I think sometimes I just get mad at me. How about you? Would you be honest with me and say sometimes you're not mad at everybody else, you're just actually mad at you. Florida, I promise there's people here. It's a lot. And you're aggravated at yourself. And because you're aggravated at yourself and you're mad at you, and maybe you feel like you're too short, you're too fat, you're too tall, you're too skinny, you're too old, you're too young, there's always a two something that keeps you back. And so when we just go ahead and accept that God forgave us of the big debt, that's what the story was about today, is we see this Jesus, this little baby lying in a manger. And now he grows up and becomes a man. And they go to kill him and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, Jesus is setting the ultimate sacrificial sacrifice for us, saying, hey, listen, I forgive them, even though Jesus never did a sin, yet he became sin. He never did any wrong, but he took on all our wrong. And we never did any right, and we became righteous the righteousness of God in Christ when we receive Jesus by saying, I make you my Lord and Savior. I'm not perfect, but I'm forgiven. My past is over and the best is yet to come. I believe in God for an open door in 24. Somebody ought to shout amen. Your best days can be ahead of you if you'll let it go, let it drop, and just don't get upset. You just get too upset too quick. Just too quick. Look at your neighbor and say, I know this sermon is good for you. I can tell. I got a little video, this cute little video I saw on TikTok this week. It's so cute. Watch this.
Yeah. I forgive you.
You forgive me?
Yeah.
But you're the one that hurt me.
Okay. I hurt you in a real accident.
It was an accident? Okay, I forgive you.
Mommy, can you move that side?
Oh, thank you.
I love you. You're just a good girl.
I'm a good girl?
Yeah.
I love you.
I love you.
Come on, give it up for that little forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgive. You know, what we think about and we mutter on tends to manifest in our life. And this scripture here, I believe, is really going to help you. I want you to go with me. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. In other words, don't go around aggravated, pent up, mad, angry. The Lord is near. I love this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then, check this out, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind through Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say, here's how you control your mind. Finally, brothers and sisters, think on whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable. And if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Think on these things. Everybody shout that with me. Think on these things. See, you gotta rewire your brain. First of all, how many of y'all got a brain? Raise your hand. How many of y'all, you feel like your brain is bigger than most people's brain? And you got to rewire that, because neurons that fire together, they wire together, and then you develop basically a pathway, just like you would in the woods, like a deer or something. We'd go down this trail all the time, and now you have a neurological pathway because your brain is formable. Your brain has what they call neuroplasticity. This is for real. And it's moldable. And so if you always think, when they do that, I need a drink, or when they do that, I need this release. So what we do is we renew our mind through the Word of God. So what I really want to encourage you to do is say, hey, I understand now that this is a system, and God made me, and God knows everything about me and still loves me. But I'm going to go to church in 24 a whole lot more, and I am going to rewire my brain so I stop reacting to the stimuli. I stop reacting to what they do to me in traffic or what they say to me, and I'm going to start actually acknowledging and thinking about, wait a minute, maybe they did that because they were hurt. Maybe they did that because they were mad. Maybe they did that because something else triggered them, but I'm not going to allow them to trigger me. I'm going to think on the things that are right. See, what I'm saying is when I thought about that neighbor all the time, what they did wrong to me, I couldn't even sleep at night because I was like, man, that dirty rascal, I can't believe they did me wrong. Anybody ever thought about stuff in the middle of the night? Anybody ever got out in the middle, early morning and thought, I can't even remember what it was I was thinking about, and it's not even important anymore? Your brain needs to settle down. And one of the ways we do that, church, is we release it and say, I'm not going to let the grudge steal Christmas. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to be left the little girl, frankly, and say, hey, if Jesus is the gift, this present that I have, I'm going to unwrap this present, and I'm going to realize that here in 2023, in December, this is the only 2023 that I've ever had. My daughter today, who is 20, watching her sing in this presentation, she's only going to be 20 so long. My little grandson, who's 3, and we got another one in the oven. Come on, somebody ought to say, man. I don't mean me and Nicole. I'm talking about Pastor Austin and Morgan. But my little 3-year-old grandson, he says things to me like, I need more water, Papa. I need more water, Papa. He stopped me the other day. I was riding a four-wheeler with him, and I was riding with him. He said, stop. And he said, I hear you.
I said, is that all you want to tell me? He said, yeah, I will. I was videoing it, so I said, say happy Thanksgiving. He said, aw. I said, no, I'm not saying happy Thanksgiving to you. Say happy Thanksgiving to people. My point is I cherish these moments. On my Instagram, I save all those clips because I've lived long enough to know these moments that you have right here, right now, this weekend, and the rest of this year might be the only moments you have. So let's make them grudge-free moments, loving moments, caring moments, joyful moments, happy moments. It's the most wonderful time of the year. You ought to go through Walmart with your pajamas on, dancing around, having a good time. Can I get a great amen today? Yeah, man. Life's too short and you're too pretty to be this mean. I'm almost done here in a couple minutes. Ephesians 4:26. This is a good one. This is Bible. Look, the Bible says, be angry. It's okay to be angry. It's an emotion. But do not sin and don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Be angry, but don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, you get mad, but by nightfall, you got to get glad. If you got mad in those pants, you can get happy in those pants. But in my last couple moments, I want to talk about negative thoughts that lead to a pity party. When I was younger, even younger than I am now, because I'm young, thanks to Botox and other injectables. We were in Destin, Florida, and Ashton was only about four. We rented a condo in Destin. It's beautiful. And Nicole did something that really made me mad, hurt my feelings. And I was just like, can't believe it. You know, because when it's your story, I'm such a good man, such a good husband, worked so hard. Anybody ever gave yourself like 1,000 points? Your wife gives birth with no epidural. That's 1 point. You had the flu. It's like, that was 3,000 points. I was having one of those moments, and I thought, you know, I'm going to make them all pay, and I'm going to go out on the balcony. I went on the balcony, looking out, thinking that they were all in there looking at me. But they're watching me right now, but I don't want to turn around to see if they're watching me right now. And I waited after like 20 minutes, never had the nerve to turn around. But I'm out there alone, sulking. I waited about 40 minutes and thought, man, nobody's coming to check on me. Nobody's coming to see me. And when I turned around, God is my witness, I turned around and they're playing a game. And my whole family's and they're laughing and they're having fun with the game. And I thought, those dirty rascals are not even paying attention to me at all. I was blowing a gasket, holding a grudge, ruining time with my family because it was all about me. They hurt me. They did me wrong. I slid that door open and I said, hey. And Nicole said, oh, I was wondering where you went. We didn't know where you went. I was putting on this whole dog and pony show outside, holding my grudge, ruining my time. So here's what I do now. I decided to rewire my brain and say, you know, the most gracious thing you can do is when you're hurt is talk to God, first of all, and then go ahead and try to calmly talk to the other person. And you can't always be like, you hurt my feelings, you hurt my feelings, you hurt my feelings. It's like, I'm going to call a wambulance for you. But you do need to communicate to one another. And that's stuff we teach at church every weekend. When you communicate and you learn to love each other and you learn to talk about, hey, you know what, this could be done better. Or, you know, hey, I could have done this way. Or how, when you start communicating to each other like adults, and you start walking in love, what you do is you open up God's opportunity to bring you forgiveness. Last passage of scripture is going to help you. Matthew 18. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is about praying for things in your life. If any two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything, whatever you ask of the Father which is in heaven, he'll give it to you. Then Peter said, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother, if he trespassed against me, till seven times? He thinks he's being real noble. And he says this number here. He says, no, 70 times seven, which is 1,078,360 times a year. Over the same thing? 1,078,000
78,368 times we've got to forgive a person of the same thing. That sure takes away. I've told you 27,000 times today to take out the trash. How many times do I have to tell you? Because sometimes we're kind of quick. We were with some friends this week. We take this trip every week, and you know, we were in the back, and my friend was in the very front, and he asked his wife, do you have my phone? She said, I don't think I have your phone. He said, it's in your purse. She said, let me check. He said, I know it's in there. Then she looked inside the purse, and she said, oh, it's in the purse. How many of y'all know what the man wanted? He wanted the phone. He didn't want verification that it was in there. So she said, what do you want? He said, I wasn't wanting a conversation about my phone. I want my phone. So he passed it up. My point is when I watched that, I thought, definitely using that in my sermon this weekend. That's why you don't want to be friends with me, because if you do something stupid, I got a lot of these bad boys and I got to look for stuff. So it's coming out. My point is this, is that he was quick, real sharp tongue to it. I've done it a million times. But I think there's different ways that we can talk to one another in marriage, our kids. I often say that home is the place we go to stop being nice. Let me illustrate it for you, because you're not really getting this. I've been in the grocery store and my wife or kids would come up behind me, and anybody ever been hit in the back of the leg with the car? Doesn't it set you off right away? And then if it's my family, I go, what in the world? Are you doing, you crazy, stupid? Stop it. Total stranger come up, do the same thing. Bam. And they go, oh, excuse me. Oh, that's okay. Anybody ever done that? These people are not, they're not going to pick up my nursing home. They're not going to help me when I get old. So that's what I'm saying. Home is the place we go to stop being nice. So if we'd say, hey, you know what? We've been married too long to be mean to each other. You've been my kids too long. We've been working too long to be mean to each other. If we'll let it drop, let it go, over a million times a day, somebody ought to shout amen to this. Our life will be better. Our joy will be better. Our happiness will be better. Look at your neighbor and tell them, so I can tell you, you needed this sermon really bad. Now, I want you to think about considering that you may have been triggered by an offense. Triggered. My dad, there were certain things I knew if somebody did that, they were going to trigger him. Anybody ever had a relative or somebody that you're like, oh my gosh, hopefully you didn't. But my dad was a cop, top secret crypto in the armed forces. I mean, he had anger issues. And sometimes I remember one time somebody tried to kind of run us over on a motorcycle, and my dad stopped, and the person was yelling at my dad, and my dad just reached in, grabbed the car keys, and threw them out in the middle of the road. And that guy said, I'm going to call the cops. My dad pulled out his badge and said, I'm here. What do you want to talk about? And this is my dad. Come on, somebody else. See where I'm coming from? So when sometimes people would do something, I'd go, oh, you don't want to do that. You're going to trigger him. But I think in my own life, although much different, and you have different things that trigger you, if we could clip those wires and say, I'm not going to allow that to trigger me anymore. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to release my offense, because sometimes what I get aggravated about, and maybe you get aggravated about, is we see this, the Bible talks about a splinter and a plank in our eyes. And we see the splinter in the other person's eye. But it's really wild, because we got a huge 2x4 in our eye. So if we'd go ahead and get rid of that and say, you know what? I might do some things too that were triggering. I might have done things that made them upset. And now we have all this basically cascading or dominoes of trouble based on just dumb stuff we said. So a good thing for us to do as we close is to say, I'm not going to try to fix everybody else. I'm going to fix me. And I think if I could try to fix me, how would I start fixing me? And I really think the quickest and fastest thing you could do is quickly forgive. Everybody shout it with me. Quickly forgive. The quicker you forgive, the less damage you do. You just ranting and raving and just settle down. And be quick to forgive. When you're quick to forgive, something happens on the inside of you that releases serotonin, dopamine, and you get happy. When you get triggered, something happens in your brain. And all of a sudden now you get that fight or flight thing. Anybody ever had that? You're driving down the road and you hear, woo! Ah! Anybody ever felt that? It wasn't dopamine. It was, get your seatbelt on as fast as you can. Oh my gosh, I put it through my steering column. Try to do it again. See, your brain really is wired and tied to your emotions. That's why the Bible said, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. So if we realize that Jesus forgave us, and we'll say, I'm not going to let the grudge steal this Christmas, and I'm going to be quick to forgive, then suddenly we'll realize that other people will enjoy being around us. We won't be an auger, and we'll enjoy this life a lot better. Last point would be shorten that enemy list that you have. You got a list of people, you know, that you don't like because they did something bad to you in 1990 on April the 3rd. You did the same thing to me in January of 2022. Whatever. It's like you're keeping a list. And if we'll allow God to say, God, I believe you forgive me, according to 1 John 1 and 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we say, God, I thank you that you've forgiven me. Then we have to extend that same forgiveness to other people, not only just to be a Christ follower, but to really enjoy your life. If it's all about you, and I know it's all about you, because there's going to be Christmas pictures taken this year, and you're going to look for you. You're going to be the first one that you look for in the family photo. And if you don't like that photo, you're like, take it again, take it again, take it again. Who am I talking to? You know who you are. It's all about you. We know it's about you. So this sermon's about you. It's about saying, you know what? I don't have to fix everybody. I don't have to be triggered by everybody. But I'm certainly not going to allow this enemy list or not being quick to forgive to hold me back from my preferred future. I want to pray for every person in the sound of my voice today and watching and online or wherever you're at one of our churches today. I want to pray for you. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to raise your hand. If you say, Pastor David, certain things you said today really helped me or hit home with me, raise your hand. Every campus, let God see that hand in Florida, here, everywhere. Thank you. You can put it down. Let's all pray this prayer together. Everyone is going to pray it. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that you sent Jesus on the cross to die for me. I repent of my sins. I make you my Lord and Savior. Heaven is now my home. And since I've been forgiven of a whole lot of stuff that I don't even want to talk about, I'm going to forgive other people of the debts that I have towards them. And I will no longer allow the grudge to steal Christmas. In Christ's name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. Was that all right for today? Come on, give the Lord a hand. Check this out.